Canoe Mates, a story of the Florida Reef and Everglades by Kirk Monroe. Chapter 10. Whose are they, and where did they come from? "Look here," said Sumner sternly to the Negro after his excitement had somewhat subsided. "Didn't you try to steal one of our guns last night?"
"Well, yes, honey, I's afeard I did," confessed the black man humbly. "But I didn't know hit were you, Ma Sumner, and I did want a gun so powerful bad."
"I'm glad that mystery is cleared up at any rate," said Worth, with a relieved air. "And I'm glad to find out that I was right about someone being in the camp, too. Now I wonder if he doesn't know something about our canoes."
"Do you, Quorum, know anything about the canoes that we came here in?" asked Sumner.
"No, I don't know nothing about no cooner. I's been wondering what sort of boat you're coming and looking for him, but I didn't see him nowheres."
"I suppose you would have stolen it if you had found it."
Maybe so. Old Quorum not responsible for what him do when he been hunted like a possum or a coon. You like possum when he roasted, Ma Sumner?"
"Indeed I do, when you roast him, Quorum. Why, have you got one?"
"Oh, yes, sir. Caught him in here trapped this berry morning. I just a-settin' hit again when you come a-trumpin' through the trees and scared the poor old nigger most to death. Oh, now, if yo say so, we go a-roast him and have berry fine supper."
"Certainly I say so. You lead the way, and we'll follow you. I tell you what, Worth, we've struck it rich in falling in with one of the best cooks on the reef."
"I don't know how I shall like possum," replied Worth, "for I've never eaten any. But I am sure it will make fully as good a meal as raw coconut. I do wish, though, that we had some bread, or at least some crackers and a little butter."
"And sugar, and coffee, and bacon, and a cooking outfit," laughed Sumner. "I wouldn't mind spending a few days here if we had all those things."
"Wouldn't it be fine?" replied the boy, who had all his life reveled in luxuries that he hardly cared for, but now would have appreciated so highly the commonest of what are generally regarded as necessities.
As they talked in this strain, they followed the Negro through the narrow trail leading back from the coconut grove to his camp. It was but a short distance from the place where Sumner had taken his setter into the tighty bush. Here, Quorum had built himself a snug palmetto hut in a place capitally concealed from observation, and had managed to surround himself with a number of rude comforts. A fire was smoldering in a rough stone fireplace, and from an adjoining limb hung the possum that they were to have for supper.
"Well," exclaimed Sumner, looking about him, "I don't see but what you are living like an African king, Quorum. Have you had plenty to eat since you came here?"
"Oh, yes, sir. Plenty such as it is. Possum and coon, turtle, fish, oyster, conch, coconut, banana, limes, lemons, and pawpaw, but no tobacco. I tell you, sir, that a very poor place would have no tobacco."
"So you want tobacco to make you happy? And Worth wants bread and butter, and I want coffee. It seems that we all want something that we haven't got and aren't likely to get in this world, doesn't it? But, Quorum, what on earth are you throwing all that iron into the fire for?"
"It won't burn."
"Oh, no, him won't burn," answered the Negro, chuckling at the idea. "But him good to bile de water."
As neither of the boys had the least idea what he meant, they watched him curiously. The iron that he had thrown into the fire, which he now heaped with wood, consisted of a number of old bolts that had to be obtained from some wreckage on the beach. While these were heating, he filled a small hollow place in the rocks with water, and when the bolts were red hot, he dropped them into it. In about 2 seconds, the water was boiling. Throwing a few handfuls of ashes into the boiling water, he soused the possum in it and held him there several minutes. After this, he scraped the animal with a bit of iron hoop, and to the surprise of the boys, its hair came off almost without an effort. In a minute it was as bare as a suckling pig, which it greatly resembled. Shortly afterwards it was cleaned, washed, and ready for roasting. Just here, Sumner proposed that they return to their own camp and do the roasting there, as, from where they now were, they had no chance of seeing any boats that might pass the island. As Quorum no longer felt the necessity for hiding, he readily agreed to this, and carrying with them the few articles belonging to him that were worth removing, they started through the woods towards what the boys already called home. The afternoon was nearly spent when they entered the clearing and came in sight of their own little lean-to. Sumner, who was some distance in the lead, was the first to reach it. The others saw him suddenly stop, gaze at the hut as though fascinated by something inside of it, and then, without a word, start on a run towards the beach. This curious action excited Worth's wonder, but when he reached the hut, he did exactly the same thing. When Quorum, who came last, reached it, he gazed in open-eyed wonder, but did not move from the spot. A smile gradually overspread his face, and with a long-drawn sigh of happy anticipation, he uttered the single word, "Tobacco." "Do you see it?" asked Worth, breathlessly, as he joined Sumner on the beach. "No, but perhaps it is behind the point. Let's go and take a look." But when they reached the point, there was no sign of the vessel that they fully expected to find there. More greatly puzzled than they had ever been before in all their lives, even at the mysterious disappearance of their canoes, the boys slowly retraced their steps towards the hut. It was completely filled with barrels, boxes, and various packages, most of which evidently contained provisions. "There is a sack of coffee," remarked Sumner, "and a box of crackers, and yes, here is butter," cried Worth, lifting the cover of a tin pail.
"Dead are him, surely a box of tobacco," put in Quorum, pointing to the unmistakable box from which his eyes had not wandered since they first lit upon it.
"It certainly is," replied Sumner, in a voice expressive of the most unbounded amazement. "And there, if my eyes do not deceive me, are cases of milk, canned fruit, baked beans, and brown bread."
"Hams and bacons," cried Worth.
"Kittles and pans," said Quorum.
"In fact," concluded Sumner, "there is a bountiful supply of provisions for several months, and a complete housekeeping outfit into the bargain." "There is no doubt as to what these things are. The only unanswered questions are, whom do they belong to, and how did they get here?"
"Perhaps whoever stole our canoes has left them here in part payment," suggested Worth.
"You might just as well say that Elijah's ravens had brought them," laughed Sumner. "Mall Sumner, sir. Excuse me, but do hit pair to you, like it would be a stealin' to bang de kiver off'n dat dar box and let de old man hib just one smell of dat tobacco?" asked Quorum humbly.
"No, Quorum. Under the circumstances, I don't believe it would," replied the boy, who forthwith proceeded to attack the box in question with his hatchet. The end of Chapter 10. Read by Rick Kistner for Let To Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.